This is the fifth video sermon in our iFaith series, and it is the first of two on 1 Peter. And I've titled this message, Suffering, Sacrifice, Strength. So, Peter, another one of the early disciples. Last time we looked at James, Jesus' brother, who came to faith around the time that Jesus was crucified, or just after that. And Peter writes a couple letters. It seems a big theme in 1 Peter is suffering, because there is persecution now, a Roman persecution, fairly rare in the first century. But in the summer of 64, the Emperor Nero, I won't go into all the history of it right now, but he caused a fire and it went out of control, and he blamed the Christians. And so many were arrested and tortured. It's well known in Roman history what happened to the Christians. He's writing from Babylon, as he calls it. It's just a code word for Rome. And the churches that Peter's writing to are in Asia Minor, what we would today call Turkey. And persecution seems to have begun there. Maybe it was a kind of a domino effect after the problems in Rome. There'll be another Roman persecution in a few decades, but really the times of persecution are the second and third centuries and the early fourth. First century is actually fairly calm, at least for the Christians. Let me give you a brief sketch of the letter. How does the letter go? Chapter 1, and I've put this into five S's, the letter S, just for simplicity. Salvation is awesome. Christian commitment is worth it. Our faithfulness is constantly being tested. Yes, especially in times of persecution, so let's get focused. Chapter 2, suffering. Suffering is an integral part of following Jesus. Sacrifices are part of our priesthood, so persecution is expected. And this is, by the way, where we'll be focusing today, on this theme of suffering. Chapter 3, strain. Strain is a natural result when things are tense, when things are dangerous. Hardships test relationships. Relationships in the family, in the church, in the community, and all these things Peter refers to. In chapter 4, stamina. Stamina and strength, that quality of perseverance, so important. Peter tells us to arm ourselves with endurance, an attitude of endurance. And if we don't drown in the flood, the real flood, which is the flood of sin, not water, then we will survive the judgment and we will make it through this life victoriously. And chapter 5, submission to the leaders and the hand of God especially. That's crucial. We need to trust the Lord. Beware the devil. And finally, he reminds us that suffering is normal. Whatever you feel, there'll be someone else in another part of the world in a similar situation. So you're not alone. It is just temporary. So salvation, suffering, strain, stamina, submission. But the unifying theme of 1 Peter is suffering, and that's really obvious in chapter 2. So as you read this book, ask yourself, in what areas of the Christian life does suffering affect us? I mean, does it affect our joy? Does it make you happier? Does it affect your relationships? And so forth. So Christians were soon going to be losing their imperial protection. No longer would they be given grace as a kind of a denomination within Judaism. They were going to have to stand on their own very soon. And Peter deeply desired that Christians stand up gracefully and graciously under the pressures they were facing, just as Jesus did when he faced passion. Now, let's read from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing, when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. Let's just comment a bit before we continue. We've got to treat other people with respect, not just fellow believers. People who are wrong. People who are wronging you. In the debate we had just 2 days ago with Sheikh Shabir Lee, I wanted to make good points, for sure, but it was also just as important to treat him and all of the Muslim guests, that was about a third of the group, treat everyone with respect. Even the emperor, Nero, probably the least worthy of respect of all the Caesars, even he, according to Peter, is to be regarded with honor. In my country, the United States, we have a tradition of speaking openly and very negatively about political figures. I'm not advocating repression. Freedom of speech is something I wish was available everywhere on the planet, but nothing justifies disrespecting others, leaders included, even if they're wrong, and even if they're wronging us. Everyone will suffer, Peter reminds us, not just servants, not just the oppressed. And enduring suffering it's not just physically surviving it. It's how we survive it spiritually. What does it do to us? I mean, obviously, some people will not survive. They'll die. But for most Christians weren't killed in persecution. They made it. They survived. But how did they survive? I'm going to continue in verse 21. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. That's a great description of what the Lord has done for us. If we've just become Christians, but it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. Christ suffered, and we are called to walk in his steps. Now, this is a bit of a different emphasis than, say, 1 John 2. In 1 John 2, walking in Jesus' steps means obedience, means discipleship. Of course, it's not absent from 1 Peter, but here the focus is on suffering, willingness to suffer. Jesus did not retaliate. Oh, the temptation to justify myself can be so strong. You know, if I'm late, I'm late to some event, and I think it wasn't my fault. You know, it was the traffic or something. I have to bite my tongue. I mean, I want to explain. I have a good reason. Even if people aren't asking for the reason, even if people don't care. Look, I know we all feel this. We all have a temptation to justify ourselves or to retaliate, to show people that, hey, I was right, you were wrong. But Jesus didn't do that. He didn't use sarcasm. He was gracious, full of grace. We're called to die to sin. This is not the dying of baptism. In baptism we die, Romans 6:6, Romans 6:3. But that's not what he's referring to right here. He's talking about the continual dying to sin. It's an attitude. It's like in 1 Peter 4, arming ourselves with an attitude so that we're willing to suffer. But here, he's talking about dying to sin, ongoing. Not the initial conversion, but ongoing. And a good parallel would be in Colossians 3, verse 5. Jesus is the shepherd and overseer of our souls. You know, in the New Testament, there are three words used for a church leader. There's shepherd, there's elder, there's overseer. Jesus is shepherd and overseer. I can understand why, at least in his earthly life, he wouldn't be called elder since he died in his 30s, but Jesus is our shepherd. Now, we can trust this. So, in conclusion, and then I'll give you some application. Suffering, sacrifice, strain, they're all part of life anyway, aren't they? They're all part of the Christian life. I've been thinking about this a lot because the book I'm working on right now is called When God is Silent, on the problem of human suffering. I think I'll finish writing it tomorrow, in fact. And I'm just reminded that you cannot get away from suffering. It comes with age. It comes from having family, neighbors, in-laws, any decision you try to take, health, just swimming upstream, swimming against the current as a Christian. There's suffering. It's just part of life. to survive and to excel, we better pay attention to Peter's words. And that means we need to imitate Jesus. Let's be prepared to suffer. Be prepared. Our goal is to respond to suffering as Jesus responded. All right, let me give you 3 points of application before I let you go. 3 points. One, let's all be respectful of all authorities in our lives. Teachers, employers, police, governors, ministers, parents, everybody. Showing respect, particularly when times are tense, when there's stress, showing respect is healing. It brings great credit to the gospel. It is what Jesus did. Just look at how the Lord carried himself in his Passion Week. Well, you can look at all 3 years of his ministry, but in the Passion Week, even though he's suffering, he carries himself graciously and he interacts with others graciously. Let's be respectful. Secondly, we're all wronged. I mean, there's nowhere on the earth you can be where you'll never be wronged. We'll be wronged by people you're close to, by strangers, by church leaders. You'll be wronged sometimes by your government. You'll be wronged by the waiter at the restaurant. So what? Let's respond like Christ without whining, complaining, without self-justification. Read about how Jesus bore up under suffering, again, in those gospel accounts. Especially look at the Passion Week. Look at Matthew 26 following. In Mark, start in chapter 14 particularly. Look, in Luke, you have the Last Supper in chapter 22, but look what happens in 23. And in John, chapters 18, when he's arrested, chapter 19, the crucifixion, and so forth. Look at this. So we're all wrong. Let's respond like Christ. And the third practical, remember this, suffering puts us under stress. At such times, we should pray more so that we don't give in to temptation, that temptation to retaliate or to compromise or to lose heart. Because how we behave in difficult times is a truer indicator of genuine faith than how we behave in good times. And let me repeat that. How we behave when times are good doesn't really tell us so much about our character, but how we behave when times are hard, that's a truer indicator of genuine faith. Now, next time, we're going to be having a sermon called Eyes of Faith. I hope you'll enjoy that. That'll be another video sermon as we go through Peter's letters. I hope this has met a need in your life. If it's the morning, have a great day. God bless you.